Hey, everybody. Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted, not guilty on all charges. We dive into that. And actually, this episode was recorded live as it happened. And so I know you're going to enjoy hearing our commentary in real time with Drew Hernandez, who actually testified in the trial, and also Jack Posobiec. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. We love it when you support us. We're appreciative of it. We're thankful. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to make what we do possible, it's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing. I want to thank Vita from Florida. Thank you. Tina from Wyoming. Thank you. John from New York. Jose from California, Ruthann from Arizona, and Deborah from Alabama, charliekirk.com/support. You can always email us directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you are coming to America Fest, everybody. I mean, the new speakers, I'm just at a loss for words at how great our team has done. These are just the new speakers outside of Tucker and Don Jr. and Candace. Listen to this. We got Congressman Burgess Owens coming, Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, Greg Gutfeld, Rand Paul, Louie Gohmert. We have Byron Donalds, Matt Gaetz, Pete Hegseth, Kat Kamik, Brandon Tatum, Andy Biggs, Devin Nunez, Chad Wright, John Lovell, Ryan Klenker, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and James O'Keefe, tpusa.com/AMFEST. That's tpusa.com/AMFEST. Get your tickets today. Phoenix, Arizona. It's going to be amazing. tpusa.com/AMFEST. And by the way, this episode, advertiser-free, no advertisers. Thanks to all of you that support us again, charliekirk.com/support. So if you're inspired by our commentary, our work, and the work we're doing, no advertisers at all, straight through. So just chip in if you can, charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. All right, everybody. Incredibly important moment in American history happening with Drew Hernandez, and we have Jack Posobiec somewhere. We were able to get him into gear. Okay. All right. Let's go to the courtroom right now. Kyle Rittenhouse trial. We might have a verdict. Yeah. So we're getting this in real time. And so Kyle's just sitting there waiting for his fate. Drew, you were there that night.
I was there. I was in that courtroom. I was there when this all happened.
You witnessed the first shooting. Is that right?
Yep. I witnessed.
That's Kyle's mother
Kyle's mother. It's a very this is a huge, huge moment in American history. And the reason why is because – you know, I think it was Jack tweeted earlier a couple seconds ago, is we're going to see who had the more power or who has the more power in the United States. Is it corporate media or actual evidence?
Yeah, that's so true.
And it's so true. And shout out to Jack for saying that, because
well, Jack's coverage has been terrific.
Oh, amazing. Phenomenal. I'm proud of him. And yeah. I'm thankful for his support and you as well. But, you know, I think America has to pay attention to this because, I mean, we've seen MSNBC. They came out and admitted that they had a guy stalking the jury bus. They came out and said, oh.
Did they arrest that person?
Yeah, or? He was arrested. But they said, oh, he just had a traffic violation.
Yeah, right.
Right in front of the jury bus.
Can we keep the feed going, please? Don't cut out
yeah.
of it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
so,
keep the feed. People don't need to see us right now. This is a huge moment in American history. And people need to pay attention to this because law and order has been subverted very successfully. We've seen that in 2020. And once that happens, justice is next. And obviously you're going to see this happen in the justice system. Right now, as I could speak for myself, is, you know, I had the video evidence that I had on my body cam footage, around 80 to 100 videos that was submitted to them. The jury had all of that, including my eyewitness testimony. And so we will see with everything that they have had. You could see even the defense. They all just seem stressed out. This is such a huge moment.
I mean, but it's just you're basically – this is as close to meeting your maker for judgment, the earthly equivalent that you could ever imagine, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
and the judge is – what is the judge waiting for the jury right now? Is that probably what's happening? Or?
It could be. I haven't heard any of the audio because we've just been sitting here for the past few minutes. It just seems like they are possibly awaiting that for them to come out. I could maybe get that wrong because I haven't seen anything prior to this, but I'm just going to comment on some of their emotions. You could tell Kyle is definitely he's thinking about the rest of his life right now.
That's a moment that very few human beings will ever come across. So you have an innocent man. I could say that. He's an innocent man who now is in the ultimate power where the people next to him have tried – to destroy him. Is Jack Posobiec on the line? Jack, what's going on?
Hey, everybody. So I, like everyone else, I'm waiting to hear what's going on. You know, I heard a couple of minutes ago from
Jack. Hold on. Yeah. Let's cut to the judge. Hold on.
Are we going in?
Yeah.
Let's go.
No, it doesn't need to be. There can't be any reaction at all, no matter how strongly you may feel. And it's understood that many people do have strong feelings. But we can't permit any kind of a reaction to the verdict. And as you can see, there's quite a bit of law enforcement here, and he will be whisked out of here if there is any. So just be aware.
Man, can you imagine what Kyle's thinking right now?
His fate is literally in these people's hands. It sounds like if you're just tuning in, the jury has been called upon to enter the courtroom.
These are years. These seconds are years.
Mm-hmm. Every single
year. Moments like this, I'm just glad that God gave us prayer.
Seriously.
Yep.
He gave us prayer for moments like this.
Mm-hmm. You have his mother right behind him.
Sister right there.
His sister.
I think his defense did a good job. I do. There's a couple things I think they could have done differently, but I think they did a good job. And that sounds like a door opening, and that sounds like you have people walking in.
They're looking at him. It's right in that corner.
This right here is something that is his future. It's a human life that's about to be decided.
Yep.
All right, members of the jury, have you
here we go.
Elected a four-person? Would you give your juror number, please?
54.
And has the jury reached a verdict as to each count of the information?
Yes, we have, Your Honor.
One verdict and one verdict only.
Yes.
Would you hand all of the paperwork to the bailiff, please?
This is the ones that you didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, everything.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. May I see that too, please, Mrs. Chairman? Thank you.
Not guilty, Rosenbaum.
The defendant will rise, face the jury, and hearken to its verdicts.
State of Wisconsin versus Kyle Rittenhouse. As the first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum. We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis. We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Not guilty at all.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts? Is there anyone who does not agree with the verdicts as read? Would you wish the jury pulled?
You see that?
Wow.
You see that?
Wow.
And, we started
about
3 weeks ago. And I told you it could last 2 weeks and 2 days. This is 2 weeks. This is 3 weeks. You were a wonderful jury to work with. You were punctual. You were attentive.
He's collapsing.
And the forgotten six over here who had a very difficult job of keeping from discussing the case during the time that they were sequestered as well. Mm-hmm. All of you, you just, I couldn't have asked for a better jury to work with. And it has truly been my pleasure. I think, without commenting on your verdict, the verdicts themselves, just in terms of your the attentiveness and the cooperation that you gave to us, justifies the confidence that the founders of our country placed in you. So I dismiss you at this time. You're never under any obligation to discuss any aspect of this case with anyone. You're welcome to do so as little or as much as you want. The media have requested, a number of media sources have requested the ability to talk to you, and they have been allowed to present presentations to you that you'll get in writing, and it's entirely up to you whether you want to contact them. They are not to contact you. If anyone does contact you and just you know, tell them you're not interested in discussing it, if that's the case, and if anyone persists in doing so, report that to us and it will be addressed, I assure you. At the beginning of the trial, there was some concern about information and your safety, and I assure you that we will take every measure to ensure that that is your concerns are addressed and respected. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute, not about anything to do with the case, but just about that sole issue. And you, as I say, you're welcome to discuss the case as little or as much as you want. Any questions, anybody? Thank you so much. And you're after 4 years, you're eligible for service again. It would be my pleasure to work with you. Thank you. Yeah, please. Or in the library. They can chill in the library. It's not going to be more than a minute. Or maybe it will be.
Well,
yeah, take them upstairs. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I just I'm emotional.
I'm emotional too, man, because you know, watching Kyle collapse like that is because not because he's I don't want to speak for him, but I could just feel it because I'm going to be honest with the viewers right now. I was there that night. I know what I saw. I know what I recorded. Kyle was defending himself. He was not in any way, shape, or form an active shooter that showed up to shoot a bunch of black people that he wanted to kill. That kid was there because he wanted to defend him, the town that was being violently attacked by arsonists, and he had to defend his own life that night. And I know what I saw. And for me, I understand why he collapsed. It's not because it's like, oh, I just got off the hook. No, he collapsed because he knew the truth. He knew that his life was on the line and that there was a lie trying to take his freedom away.
Assailed by lies. That's exactly right.
Yep.
And you rarely ever see a moment like that where someone's life flashes in front of his eyes. That's as close as you could put it, right?
You know, Charlie, I think we just the viewers, we need to thank God because it's rare that we're starting to see moments like this right now where justice prevails. And when we do see this, I think we need to seriously thank Jesus because, I mean, with everything that's happening in the United States of America, everyone is already kind of just anticipating for darkness to just win, right? So right now, I think that the Lord gave the W because this is honestly what happened.
Well, justice is of the Lord.
Justice
is giving a man his due, and Kyle Rittenhouse deserves to be able to have Thanksgiving with his family. Think
Absolutely.
About that. That what they just put forward, if they would have said guilty, the mandatory minimum for first-degree murder is life for the rest of – in jail for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of biblical context in this, and you're right, where it's – you know, in the biblical, you know, story or narrative, you know, you're going to meet your maker and you will have justice ahead of you. You could either go spend the rest of your eternity in a place you don't want to spend, or you could go and walk free. And in the earthly context, that's exactly – you just saw that. You rarely ever see it like
yes.
that, right?
Exactly.
And just so everyone understands, less than 1% of cases that go to trial does the defendant not get go to jail. Mm-hmm. Less than 1% are cases actually there.
Yes.
And this is a huge blow to the regime, massive blow.
Yep.
And can we get the tape back of Kyle, please, collapsing? Is that possible? Could we try to get that? I've seen a lot of things in my life. He fell to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, because that
he
is –
he just started just shaking.
Yes, that is a young man that knew that his entire life was in jeopardy, was on the line.
For doing nothing.
For doing
wrong.
Nothing. And he knew that – I mean, think about it, Charlie. All of the media smears when this all started, they immediately –
White supremacist
to where the so-called president of the United States ran on that on his campaign, made him the poster child. I am excited to see how Kyle Rittenhouse goes after all these people for defamation. That is the next step.
He's going to make Nick Sandman look like, you know, to make that look like.
Oh, they're going to collab. They're going to collab. You're going to see a huge collaboration with Nick Sandman and Kyle Rittenhouse, because so much defamation has taken place against Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, and this is just the beginning. He's going to have a massive future.
You remember that during the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing, you know, certain companies didn't want to be associated with him anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you had certain
Black Rifle or Black, was it?
Yep.
That would be
the name of the company. They came out and they said, oh, we don't want to deal with Kyle Rittenhouse, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to deal with an innocent, free, exonerated man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we learned anything from Kavanaugh, if we learned anything from Sandman, we learned anything from the McCloskeys, and now with Rittenhouse, is that the media machine, they have some vulnerabilities. They have some fault lines. This is the most important point out of here. Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted, everybody. Kyle Rittenhouse is a free man for defending himself. And you were there. You testified in this trial.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because I know what I saw. He was defending himself. Joseph Rosenbaum was not a saint. He's not a hero. He was a very violent individual that was chasing Kyle Rittenhouse from behind. And Kyle heard a gunshot in that parking lot, turned around, and the first thing he saw was Joseph Rosenbaum, a convicted pedophile, literally lunging after him and his weapon, and he fired. Okay? And if that's not a case of self-defense in the United States of America, Charlie, I don't know what is.
And what has always perplexed me throughout this whole thing is two things. Number one, how this was even allowed to go to court.
Yep.
This was the power of the machine for a narrative and for all these different things. The second thing that I think is so important for people to recognize and realize is how the center right and the right in general, they didn't want to defend Kyle through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
As if he had, like, you know, deep sympathies towards the, you know, some sort of different groups. And, you know, my goodness, is this not a lesson?
Because they fall into the garbage,
they
Charlie.
Fall into the they narrative, fall, they, right?
White supremacy.
Zero
and then
evidence.
You see the center right come out and say, oh, we don't want anything to do with it. But this is what they do, Charlie. They always put people on the defense immediately, right? And then all these weak people, center right, that claim to be conservatives, Americans, they fall right into it. Oh, we want nothing to do with this individual because he's been tainted as a white. It's a lie. We have to come together and stop letting these people put us on the defense like this. Because this is where it goes.
Yes.
Charlie, this is where it goes.
Well, I mean, where – and this was truly a trial that was manufactured by the media.
Mm-hmm.
If it was not for media pressure, Kyle would not have had to go through this. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. By the way, what's the link for Kyle? I want to – it's kind of a goofy link. I have personally contributed to his legal defense fund. I encourage you to do the same. Those defense attorneys are not cheap. They're not. That's a high-level defense right there. And his family had to go into debt, post a $2 million bail. But guess what? You know where Kyle Rittenhouse gets to go tonight? Home.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Rittenhouse gets to walk out of
free
that
man.
Courtroom. FreeKyleUSA.org. Kyle gets to have Thanksgiving with his family. Kyle gets to have Christmas with his family. Kyle gets to have a whole future in front of him. He did nothing wrong. And I want to now state the obvious. Drew, we need to pray for Kenosha because I'm afraid there's going to be some violence after this. What do you think?
You know,
that's such a sick thing that we have to deal with this,
right? It really is, and we have to blame the mainstream corporate media because they're the ones who stroke these flames, no pun intended, right? I mean, really think about what they've done. They have used propaganda. They have defamed Kyle Rittenhouse. Listen, Charlie, after I testified, I had people calling me and were like, Drew, I have so many friends calling me right now saying they had no idea Kyle did not shoot black people.
That's right.
Do you know how many people – and then even on Twitter, there's black people going viral on Twitter because they're saying, I had no idea that he didn't shoot black people. Well, there are still people out there right now that believe that.
You are living in a simulation.
Literally. Literally. And but this is what causes people to riot.
Yes.
Because they actually believe that black people are being targeted and attacked by white supremacists.
Well, being hunted down in the streets. And this is the McCloskeys, Border Patrol on horseback with whips, which of course wasn't true. The thing with Kyle, though, and this is the power that conservatives underestimate, is the power of stereotyping imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you see a white person with their hat on backwards, right, and a greenish camo shirt on with an AR-15, a scary looking gun, mm-hmm. and a sling.
Yeah.
That's right. All of a sudden, what does that trigger for you?
Mm-hmm.
That triggers a narrative as if he is a militia member,
a threat,
right? Because we've been trained and conditioned through movies, through video games, or whatever, mm-hmm. to say that white person is a threat. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And like to decouple that, like, no, actually Kyle was defending himself, but they had the picture they wanted. The picture they wanted was the picture where Kyle had his mouth open as if he was yelling at people like, hey, keep on coming. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You know,
that
Charlie,
one snapshot is what got him indicted.
And they're probably still going to continue with it. I want to tell the team right now, go take a look at what MSNBC is saying right now. Go take a look at what CNN is, because I want to see their reaction to this. Because if they continue with this white supremacist garbage, these people are the ones that are stroking the flames to these riots. So I think people need to pay attention. And the viewers, for those people that may be tuning in from my Twitter, because I just posted it right now, the link to the show.
You might be
saying you're defending a white supremacist. You're defending a murder. Go look at the facts. Do not listen to the mainstream media. They are lying to you. How many times do we have to say this, Charlie, over and over and over again?
And again, this was – and I want to compliment the judge. I think the judge wanted to throw this out with bias and prejudice,
mm-hmm.
but I think he was saving that. He really wanted the jury to speak because now it's definitive, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that would have helped Kyle if he would have done that too early, right?
Yeah.
But the prosecution was probably trying to throw the case with infringing on his Fifth Amendment rights and that
mm-hmm.
whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But and the judge said something beautiful, which of course he'll be protested for. He said, "You guys, you're a testament to our framers. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to compliment our founding fathers, right?
No. Nope.
You are not allowed to compliment Madison, Hamilton, and Jay." And this actually gives me faith that the institutions aren't totally broken. But I believe, Drew, if Kyle Rittenhouse would have done this in Washington, D.C., or if he would have done this in a liberal circuit, not like middle class Kenosha, I don't know if he would have gotten a fair trial.
No, I totally agree. There's so much corruption in the justice system, and that's been happening for decades. But, you know, and I just want to say this because this is Turning Point USA. There's a lot of young people watching this right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally abnormal, okay? Like, this kind of justice is
It is a rarity.
For Zoomers watching this saying, oh, yes. Like, no, this is totally abnormal. This is why it's so important to get involved at a young age with truth, justice, and absolute righteousness, because we need the next generation. Because someday, these remaining old people that are still putting in work with truth and justice are not going to be there anymore.
That's right.
And the next generation of Marxists and these psychopath globalists are going to come in with their lawlessness, and they are going to end up controlling. And you may never see something like this ever again in the future. So I want to encourage the young people right now. This is why it's important. If you want to become the next Lil Yachty, then God bless your soul. But I think it's more important to want to be a judge that actually makes some changes and that ends up in a position like this in the future to actually uphold justice. To me, that means more than becoming the next SoundCloud rapper in the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Can we replay a Kyle Rittenhouse collapsing? Is that possible? Do we have that?
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts?
They are unanimous verdicts.
Yeah, man, it makes me want to cry, bro. I mean, I'm getting emotional because being directly involved with this, like you... One thing I will say is when I was testifying, I don't want to make this about me, but I want people to understand the evil that's involved with this. When I was testifying, Charlie, on the stand and the prosecution, I don't know if the tape caught this, but when the prosecutors, every time I would say rioter, vandal, looter, anytime I would say the truth, they would just laugh at me and shake their head. And during the middle of that, while I was testifying, it just dawned on me, like, this is evil. This is evil because I know what the truth is, and these people are laughing at me like I'm lying, when in reality it's them laughing at the truth. It's inverted. It's backwards.
Yes.
And people need to understand this is the reality of the evil that's in the justice system. And today it's Kyle Rittenhouse, but tomorrow it could be you.
Well, and that's right. And what Kyle represented was a test of the integrity of our system,
Yeah. Right?
Which is our system still one that allows due process, the rule of law, cross-examination of witnesses, checks and balances? Mm-hmm. And some people say no.
Yeah.
Some people say, oh, our courts are all rigged. There's still a remnant.
Yeah.
And that remnant, he happened to get a good judge, man. He could have got
a
University of Wisconsin-Madison young radical. Right? I mean,
absolutely.
The judge was fair, and the judge was appropriate.
And he was, because even when I was in the courtroom, the judge would correct me on a few things that I was unaware of, because I'm not in court every single day, so I'm not, you know, up to date with how things are said. So he would correct me, he would correct the prosecution, he would correct the defense. He wasn't this biased individual. And you know, remember when the judge was criticized for making that comment about Asian food coming from boats, right? That was so ridiculous, Charlie.
Of course it is.
There's so much – it's so tense in the courtroom. He was just trying to, you know, disperse the tension in the court. He was just saying things to people. But the media takes this and they make it something that it's not, and they create this division.
Yes.
They create this division because they want division and they want us divided. They want us so polarized, and that's what they want in this country, left pinned against right, where it's so tribal, where it gets violent. That's what they want. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. But they're the ones that put us on the defense always. And right now, I think Americans, I'm telling you, man, there's probably people watching that may have not normally watched your show before. And I just want to communicate to you guys, because I'm seeing it on my Twitter. You guys need to pay attention to what the actual truth is, because there is a media out there that is lying to your face on a daily basis.
That's right.
And that's not a right-wing conservative point. That's just the truth.
That's the real thing. And so – and it's just – you know, and looking at some of these memes, is this not perfect? No, I mean, he's the most exonerated individual.
Yeah, Kyle is a superstar.
And the closest that this
moving
is
moving forward.
Look, the other one that it was anywhere close to was George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
And Zimmerman was not exactly as, you know, likable of a character. Let's just, you know, I'm not saying – it's just Zimmerman was a little bit more intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where Kyle Rittenhouse has this like perpetual baby face, right? And – you look at him, you're like, this is the guy that we're supposed to believe is
this demonic white supremacist killer murderer.
No, but make no mistake, we're already starting to see some of the chatter from the activists on Twitter. Let's try to get some of those, Connor. I'm sure that Ibram X. Kendi and, you know, all those beautiful people.
Yeah, let me see. Let me check the Antifa chatter.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. BLM, I'm sure they're saying burn it all down and all this. We need to pray for Kenosha. This could happen again.
Okay, so BLM Chicago just tweeted 2 minutes ago, F this system, stop white supremacy, response to Rittenhouse verdict. Regardless of the outcome, we're hitting the streets to protest this racist injustice system. So they claim it's a protest on Twitter, but we will see what happens in Chicago.
Yeah. So that's just Chicago, right?
Chicago Black Lives Matter.
And with a picture of Kyle, right?
With a picture of Kyle.
Yeah, well,
let me send this to the team. I think I could
see. We can put that up there. So they're already starting the chatter. Mm-hmm. And by the way, racist. He killed white people in self-defense. I mean, this is what's so incredible.
And
right?
Let me say this too. Do you know Kyle Rittenhouse, his head of security?
No. Is a
he's a black guy.
Is that right? Well,
some white supremacist, right, Charlie?
Right, exactly. Well, and so let's get to
– let me send this to you.
I'm sure there's going to be some reaction to all this. Do we have some Joy Reid reaction of how they were talking about this leading up? I just want to remind people what they were saying about Kyle Rittenhouse, a now acquitted, innocent young man who had his whole life flash in front of him. And by the way, Drew, were you surprised? I mean, it was a matter of 20 minutes where they said, we have a verdict. They got everyone. That was quick.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak to what was going on with them inside of the jury selection. I mean, I have no idea. All I know is that some of the shady things that were happening was that MSNBC, freelance journalists were stalking the jury bus yesterday and got arrested and questioned for it. I mean, there definitely was a lot of intimidation. I'll speak to this too for me too. I received a lot of death threats.
Did you really?
Yes. Social media, people were telling me to kill myself. They were sending me pictures with people with targets on their back. They were saying, I hope you get shot. We know that there were reports of the judge and his family receiving death threats. I know I can report now that the defense was too. Kyle's attorneys were receiving death threats at their law firm as well. So I could only imagine what was happening to the jury. I can only imagine. Okay. I can't speak for that. I don't have anything to prove that the jury was being threatened, but just based off what happened with me, and I'm just an eyewitness, I can only imagine what was going on with them. So did that play a part into why they were delayed? I know Posobiec reported that a U.S. Marshal was saying that two of the jurors were fearful for their lives and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll probably hear the stories, Charlie. I'm sure there'll be interviews with the jurors, and we'll see what happens.
So Joy Reid tweets out, "We knew, but sometimes helpful to remind ourselves how America was designed to work. It continues to work as designed. We have learned again what is considered legal for some people to do in America. It's helpful to know where you stand in your country. Be safe out there." Joy Reid.
Wow.
And Chuck Todd on MSNBC right now is blaming the judge. Of course he is.
Of course. Of course. Because they want division. This is what they want. This is what the corporation media does. They want that's their base. Like, let's be honest, right? When you're in conservative media or you're a conservative talking head, you know what your base wants to hear, right? Mm-hmm. And we know we have grifters that literally build careers on that. They don't actually care about it. They just know what the base wants to hear. The left does the same thing.
Yes.
They know that the radical left, the Marxists and the psychopath socialists, they are literally triggered by this stuff. They know they want to hear this stuff. So they just say it and they don't care about the consequences because nothing's going to happen to them.
That's right. Black Votes Matter tweets out, "Not guilty in all charges, disappointed but not surprised. This is not justice. This is not accountability. However, this is America." And so "not surprised" is now trending on Twitter.
There you go.
Because they're saying, oh, everything is so systemically racist that how could you do that? Look.
Yep. Even though Kyle shot not one black person.
Well, and the point is that self-defense is equally applicable to people of all races, right? That Kyle Rittenhouse – and by the way, this is the most important part of this, that he could not have – he could not have encountered a more intense or comprehensive examination of his actions.
Yeah.
If you can't indict somebody after what he just went through, he's innocent.
Yeah.
Right? I mean
– but just think about how ridiculous the narrative goes to. First, it's he's a white supremacist because they're trying to paint him as someone that shot a bunch of black people. And now it's going to be, well, imagine if it was a black person. They'd be in jail right now.
Yep.
Then it's just these people are so desperate and it's just comical. It's
remember, Facebook called Kyle Rittenhouse a mass murderer. Mm-hmm. GoFundMe shut down Kyle Rittenhouse's legal defense. Mm-hmm. Conservatives said time and time again, I want to stay away from it. Right. Coffee companies disavowed him. Yep. They said, you know, we don't want anything to do with him.
I think it was Cassandra Fairbanks, I think, that tweeted Kyle Rittenhouse did nothing wrong, or she posted on
and
Facebook.
She got kicked off
or was penalized. I mean, it's just people need to seriously pay attention to this, man. I mean, big tech plays such a huge role on the minds of people, even in something as serious as this.
Look
what the outcome was.
We're getting an email here. freedom@charliekirk.com. You guys can email us. Lacey said, "I am currently sobbing, not out of anger, not out of sadness. I'm crying tears of joy. The jury did the right thing. They took every piece of evidence and were able to see Kyle is innocent. This is a huge win for America. I'm so thankful to have been on the side of the fence for it." And this is a really interesting thing. And Tucker said this in a speech yesterday, which I thought was one of the greatest one-liners ever. There's never been a country as good of America that has leaders as bad as we have.
Mm.
Meaning like the people of America still, I think there's plenty of outliers in this that I'm impressed. The jury did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you just pick random 12 citizens from Kenosha, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And our leaders, they want to indict him. Joe Biden wants him in jail. Yeah. Joy Reid wants him in jail. So they want a young man, of course, young white man, which is a big part of this.
Of course.
You know,
there is a total attack on white people.
Talk about that.
Totally.
If I say it, then let me
say this for Charlie Kirk. Yeah. Okay, white people are being attacked in the United States of America, and it's very clear right now. It's funny because people are saying, especially people on the right, they're saying this trial had nothing to do with race. No, it did, because it was an attack on white people. And right now, the reason this critical race theory garbage, this is where it stems from. And Charlie, you know this, because when you take a look at critical race theory, it's the power structure is the people that control everything, the narrative, the culture, the traditions, everything. And they're taught this in universities. And they say just because the white people are the main population in the U.S., they're the power structure. And then right now, this is how it bleeds through in media. It bleeds through in education. And they paint white people to be the demons. And even by default, just because you're the main population in the United States of America, you're by default the supremacist, even though you're a white person that could care less about race.
My whole
but this is what they're
is
taught.
That.
Exactly.
And then, you know, I have Associated Press that comes out and they write this whole article, the Associated Press, where they write, they say, Charlie Kirk uses race to sow division. I say, hold on a second. My whole tour was about how we shouldn't care about race.
Yes.
Like, you guys are the ones that are the racial arsonists. But look, and here's the point, is that if Kyle Rittenhouse would have been a BLM activist and he would have shot two Trump supporters that were hunting him down, the whole narrative would have been completely different. And honestly, we would have – and you can kind of see this a little bit in the Ahmaud Arbery case, right? Where the Ahmaud Arbery case, I think there's more facts actually than people realize about that. You're allowed to actually do a citizen's arrest if someone committed a felony and all this. But you do not see this kind of full-throated conservative defense of the shooters in the Ahmaud Arbery case, because we don't really like tribalism in a sense like if we think you might have acted a little improperly, we're not going to go put on the jersey and – you know what I mean? Where the other side's like, you know what? We don't care. Rittenhouse, white guy, has a gun. You know, we're going to go after it. By the way, LeBron James, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, you owe LeBron. You owe Kyle Rittenhouse an apology, buddy. You owe Kyle Rittenhouse an apology. A lot of people owe Kyle Rittenhouse an apology.
Well, LeBron James, who's worth probably $1 billion and will never fly commercial another day in his life, right, goes and he calls Kyle Rittenhouse's tears crocodile tears.
Yep, because he's a disgrace.
He is. He'll never be Michael
Jordan.
He's talented,
but he's dumb.
Just if you say this, it bothers him. He'll never be Michael Jordan, ever. He'll never be Michael Jordan. Email us your thoughts, everybody. freedom@charliekirk.com. We're just kind of looking at the reaction here, and I'm torn on this. I think we're going to have some one-off violence, unfortunately. But I will say, though, that I do not think that I don't think they're going to activate the mob machine. And we know the mob machine exists. The Time magazine article, remember, the shadow campaign that won the 2020 election, they can activate arson and protest at a moment's notice. I don't know. Do you think they're going to push that button?
Here's the thing, Charlie. Someone that's covered these riots extensively in 2020 is I think they believed they could control the machine. But I think at some point when you open up that can of worms, you will lose control of it. And then what are they going to do? Start calling the FBI, the feds, the National Guard, and it's going to get worse, right? I think we're in an age right now where you're literally seeing, you know, these polarizations go after each other. But I think the Democrat Party right now has opened up a door that they should have never opened, because now they won't be able to close it. But we'll see. We'll see. I know the radicals, Antifa. In the Rittenhouse trial, it came out that the feds had drones watching the riots.
And we didn't even know that, right?
We didn't. And I'm sure Antifa didn't know that. I'd be shocked if they did. So I'm curious to see how they really do respond to this, because now they're aware that there's drones watching the riots.
But
so
like,
we'll see.
Let's also hey, Connor, is domestic drone surveillance legal in America? Are we allowed to do that? That's a whole different question, isn't it? Yeah. Remember when Rand Paul said one day there's going to be drones that are surveilling America? Is that – are we allowed to do that? I hope they had to get a warrant to do that. I hope so.
I'm sure they did. Too much. I mean, it was – I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, it was used
as evidence.
It's
open air, right? So I it's not any privilege or protected. But the fact that drones could be following you around on American soil,
it may be one of those things where it's like it's technology that hasn't had any like real policy written around
that's
it. So they
probably
just kinda,
right.
You know what I mean? So it could be one of those things. But we will see, Charlie. We will see. I just think I agree with you. We'll see if the machine will be turned on. But is the machine controllable, right? And also, are they going to be willing to go forward with this? And I will say this again, is who will be the ones to blame for people rioting in the streets over quote-unquote racial injustice? This had nothing to do with black people getting shot. If anything, where are all the white leftists coming out and say – well, actually there are.
Well,
there are
few.
People in Kenosha that are saying Joseph Rosenbaum's a hero. Joseph is a convicted
a child
pedophile,
rapist.
Child
yes.
molester. It's
that's
like,
right.
Well, anyways.
The Jacob Blake thing sparked this all of this.
Yes.
That's what sparked this. But that was during Floydapalooza, right? So that was during – kind of the unraveling of decent and civil
But even
society.
That wasn't an innocent black person being shot. The guy pulled a knife and was refusing, turned his back on the cops.
And Floyd was more complicated than people realized, right? I've been plenty vocal on that thought crime, right?
Yeah.
Where it very well could have been a drug overdose. He was trading counterfeit currency, all that. But, you know, Chauvin was convicted by a jury of his peers. I mean, there's no way the jury would have done anything.
Well, here, even
that,
in the Floyd case, the prosecutors, the DA themselves, on 60 Minutes, he was asked, was this about race? Was this a hate crime?
That is correct.
He said no.
Not only that, Keith Ellison said that. He said it wasn't about race too.
He said
the
no.
The Attorney General of Minnesota came out and said no.
Yes, it was him. It was him on 60 Minutes.
And
I correct myself.
He's despicable.
Yes. He admitted on 60 Minutes It was not George Floyd. We could say this live on the Charlie Kirk Show. George Floyd was not killed because he was a black man, and even
of course
they
not.
Even admitted
no,
it.
No, it's not true. But that they implied race where it didn't exist.
Exactly.
Because they wanted to try to build a narrative that, you know, it's all based on race. And the crazy thing is, Chauvin earlier that day had plenty of interactions with other police folks, with other black folks. I'm sorry, and it was fine, no issue. So it wasn't like he was hunting people down. And we never got a good answer between Chauvin and Floyd's personal history. That was never really ironed out.
Yeah.
Do you agree that was never?
Yeah, it was never looked into. I think it was something that should have been looked into. But to go to your point,
at a nightclub or something.
But Charlie, to go to your point about Kyle, I saw the same thing, and I testified this under oath earlier in the night. I watched Kyle Rittenhouse. I have it on video. I watched Kyle Rittenhouse de-escalate a situation with rioters that included black people. With his rifle, but he didn't have to use his rifle to de-escalate the situation.
Right.
I testified that under oath because it was true. When I testified, right, I testified under oath that I saw, and I have it on body cam footage, I witnessed Kyle Rittenhouse, alleged white supremacist, de-escalate a situation with very agitated rioters. And some of those rioters were black people. Okay, well, so if he was this psychotic – murder-hungry white supremacist, please tell me how I saw Kyle Rittenhouse attempt to and successfully de-escalate a situation with black rioters.
You bring up an interesting point, and the point is that what would this look like if it wasn't for the citizen journalists that were there?
Oh, my goodness.
You, Daily Caller. So
Elijah
you deserve
Schaefer.
A lot of credit. But, like, did Elijah testify in this?
No, he didn't. I can't speak to why he didn't, or we'd have to ask him. But what I will say is that is a very scary thought.
But I want you to think about this. So the legacy media, they would have either deleted the footage or they wouldn't have said they had it. But this is an important point. Kyle Rittenhouse probably walked today and was innocent. Because of people like you and others that stayed up to 1 or 2 in the morning to cover the arson. That's a very big, important infrastructure win for the conservative movement. Do you notice it's none of the think tanks in D.C. with all these big budgets?
No.
You know, but no, instead, you know, so let me ask you a personal question. What compelled you to go to the streets in Kenosha? It's dangerous. You're not from there?
Well, this was during 2020. We had the lockdowns.
Who were you working for at the time?
By myself. I was independent.
You were just a citizen journalist.
By myself, yeah.
And so you're a patriot. You love the country, and you decided to go to Kenosha.
Yeah, because I was already in Chicago. We were covering some BLM activity. Mm-hmm. And then the night Jacob Blake got shot, I saw some movement on Twitter. And the first report I saw in Kenosha was that the rioters took a brick to a police officer's head and knocked him unconscious. So I decided to take an Uber. I was saying, this might be a riot. I took an Uber from Chicago all the way to Kenosha, and right when I arrived, the first thing I literally reported on and saw was they already had a flaming dumpster truck ablaze. Not a little one. These massive dumpster trucks in Kenosha that they have, and I covered that first night, went back to Chicago to do a Tucker hit the second night. They were riding that night, came back the third night, and that's when the shootings took place. They were riding the whole time. Listen, I always say this, Charlie, is there was nothing peaceful about Kenosha. It was a riot from the beginning, and it was a crime scene from day one.
And so BLM comes out, and they say, stop white supremacy response to Rittenhouse verdict, blah, 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 blah. But so you had the courage to go up there and cover it. And that's a big deal because you had first-person testimony that showed the truth.
Yep.
And some people say, oh, you know, these are conservative journalists on the stand. Like, can you talk about that?
I'm sure you
got some of that
attack, right? The prosecutor attacked, tried to prove that literally on live TV.
Binger,
and it didn't go well for him. So, hey, buddy, you might want to replay the tapes and, you know, rethink your career. But because if someone like me could make you look like that, you know. But anyways, honestly, Charlie, I could have just showed up and with all the body cam footage I had and just had them push play and sat there and just narrated it the whole time. I didn't need an opinion. I didn't need a bias. None of that, because I had the footage that corroborated everything I was claiming to have seen. And a lot of people on the internet are like, oh, you're just this right wing, you know, Trump supporting conservative. You were just there to save Kyle. I was there to speak the truth.
To save Kyle? You didn't even know who Kyle was.
Never met Kyle. Never met Joseph Rosenbaum. I am just an eyewitness in this.
You were a journalist that did your job. And that is the untold story here, which is that conservatives need to continue to be unafraid if there is something happening to get in the streets, because the legacy media, did they have one legacy media outlet that testified?
I don't believe
so. In favor of Kyle?
I don't believe
so. Think about that. So you have all the drive-bys, ABC, local affiliates, none of them got what you got or the Daily Caller guy.
Yeah,
that's a very interesting thing, isn't it?
Because last year in 2020, you had the lockdowns and then the riots broke out. People were afraid to actually do this kind of stuff. And because they're violent environments, everything I do is undercover and people need to understand this is what needs to be done to get the truth.
With us is Jack Posobiec. Can we get his video on screen or is Jack – Jack, I want to give you credit and praise and you're going to have to accept it, which is you were ahead of this. You were on top of this trial. You were covering it extensively. And kudos to you, Jack. You deserve so much credit in that way. Jack Posobiec, who does work with us at Turning Point USA and HumanEvents.com, Human Events Daily, did more good than the multi-billion-dollar legacy media institutions. Truly. Jack, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Charlie, right here.
All right. There you are in the lower third. Excellent.
Oh, there you got me.
Jack, it's a great day to be alive.
Really is,
what's going on?
You know, Charlie, what this really is, it's amazing that you've got Drew right there because, you know, Drew, I was just doing some other media and I was giving a shout out and it really explained the dynamics here is this is a major victory, not just for truth, not just for justice, not just for America, really, basic American values. This is independent media versus corporate media.
That's such a great point.
All the way back to the beginning, back to the very night it took place. If you watched corporate media and for 14 months thereafter, they told you in and out that this was an active shooter, that he crossed state lines with an AR-15 illegally, that he wanted to go and cause trouble and attack a crowd of Black Lives Matter supporters. That's what the corporate media line was. And I personally, and no offense to any of the lawyers that were there and they did a fantastic job, but personally, I truly believe that it was the video evidence that was provided by the intrepid, brave, and courageous journalists such as yourself, Drew, the Daily Caller team that was out there. I know the Blades, Elijah Schaefer, people were there. BG on the scene, of course. He's independent, but he puts himself out in all of these things. He ran alongside Kyle as shots were going off, as this was all happening. Because that footage was there from independent media, who Twitter is constantly trying to throttle and shut down, I truly believe that it is that video and the grace of God that entered into that juror's deliberation room. And they said, you know what? They told us one thing, but we can't see that. Because we see the truth and the truth has been presented to us. And there's no way that we can put this kid behind bars in the prime of his life. He was 17 when it happened. He's 18 now. When we can see the facts. Imagine if the video wasn't there. Imagine if all you had was the corporate media narrative and the corrupt, crooked prosecutors like Binger and this guy Lunchbox on top of it. You'd be done. You'd be absolutely. God bless all of the work that was done by the independent media. Of course, God bless. I pray for Kyle. I pray for Kyle's mother. I was joking on Twitter, not joking, actually, I'm going to do this. I wanted to send a whole package of some MyPillow products to her. And I also wanted to go in and just to say a prayer for, I saw that there was some footage of the families of the people who were killed, right? The people who did die and their family members were there. And I think we ought to take a moment to just say, you know, nobody wants that. No parent wants that for their child. And just to say a prayer for them and for their repose and hope that they find grace and that they find some solace in God. And I said it before when I was on, but I think it's moments like this is why God gave us prayer.
You're right. Is that grassrootsy journalism that was willing to go to the front lines, it told the truth. I mean, if it was just up to MSNBC, FBI drone footage and this other, it would have been a lot of hearsay, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know who would have testified in Kyle's behalf in that point, but it's this new kind of grassrootsy front lines. And Andrew Breitbart was really the pioneer of a lot of this. And James O'Keefe, this is why he's being targeted by the regime, of kind of like, I'm going to go out there and do it myself.
Yep.
And that is a threat to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because of stuff like this.
That's right. Because
and, you know, I wanna,
they might have been able to lock up Kyle otherwise.
I want to tell people, you know, I just want to caution people. Covering Antifa and Black Lives Matter is not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of intel that's required with covering them. Everything I've done is undercover. I'm not trying to make myself look like this amazing person, but I don't want people to just be like, oh, I could just go out there and cover Antifa. There's so much, a lot of education that goes into actually being able to cover them effectively undercover, because there's things that you need to know. There's certain clothing. There's so much nuance into effectively getting this kind of footage. Not breaking the law. I'm just saying you need to know your enemy. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, yeah, and just cover it. And you're right. It's not a game. Right?
It's not
I mean,
a game.
These people will dox you. They'll follow you.
Yes.
They'll hunt you down. They'll
mm-hmm.
hurt you.
Yep.
Look what they did to Kyle. I mean,
yep.
And you know, the escalation of that entire thing was, you know, largely because is that mob psychology is a very real thing. It's been studied clinically.
Yes.
It's not as understood as it should be.
Yep.
And you lose independent rationality.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Rittenhouse has acquitted everybody. That's all I got to say. Jack, what's the reaction out there? What are you hearing? But Jack, I want to start with this before we get to that. Jack, can you go back in the Wayback Machine? Wasn't there a certain company that dropped Kyle Rittenhouse? Wasn't the center right afraid to touch Kyle Rittenhouse? Wasn't he radioactive and toxic? Talk about that, because now Kyle Rittenhouse is being platformed by even some of the normies. How'd that change?
I want to see, because I was actually digging this up, and I want to see, I don't know if I have the actual quote right in front of me, but there was a company called Black Rifle Coffee that said, we don't want those people who support Kyle Rittenhouse. We don't want them buying our product. We want to drop this. So Kyle posed with his lawyers in, it's like the kitchen of someone's house. I don't know whose house it was. And he was wearing a Black Rifle Coffee shirt. Black Rifle Coffee promotes themselves as supporters of the Second Amendment, veterans company. And yet after that photo, they did this whole tweet storm and then comments, really sit down with the New York Times, where there are these comments that come out, you know, sort of explaining away, where they did everything they could essentially to distance themselves from Kyle and to distance themselves from anyone who supported him. Meanwhile, you actually had Mike Lindell go in and did support him.
I remember that.
And
Jack, didn't people
get a lot of crap for it?
People got fired for donating $10, right?
You had police officers getting
police
fired
officers,
for donating to his legal defense. $25, you know, and then they get doxxed by, again, as Drew's talking about Antifa, this is what they do, right? They will dox you. We understand this does not end that situation because the mob is still out there.
Yep.
I think what one or two people are being prosecuted right now, even from that mob from August 25th back in Kenosha. But we still have to actually look at the people who burned down Car Source, the people that came up from Chicago. Of course, they cross state lines. And when people come to me and they say, but Jack, he shouldn't have been there. And I say, you know what? You're right. He shouldn't have been there. The mob shouldn't have been there.
Yep.
None of this should have been there.
It should have been locked down. And, you know, the National Guard should have been there. This is not hard.
Yes. Yep. Yes, the National Guard should have been there. And the mainstream media shouldn't have lied about this in the first place by claiming that Jacob Blake, who Jake Tapper even repeated again this year, repeated the lie that Jacob Blake was unarmed. He was armed. He charged police officers with a knife in his hand.
And so I suppose this is something that, you know, again, I want to reemphasize this, though, is because it's been really interesting and fascinating in some capacity to see kind of the evolution here of how conservatives treated Rittenhouse, you know, toxic. And I remember being at some event at some point mentioning Kyle early on, mm-hmm. and the event organizers, it was like a paid speaking event thing. And they're like, yeah, you know, don't do that next time. Like, you know, so Jack, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, how many more chapters do we have to go through here, right? Covington, Kavanaugh, McCloskey, mm-hmm. till, you know, because I'm pleased to hear now that Kyle's like a hero of the American right. I'm going to participate in that and platforming him, and I think he should be a hero of the American.
But Charlie, David French from wrote a whole column in The Atlantic that said we shouldn't, you know, consider Kyle a hero, and he called it the Twitter right. The Twitter right is making Kyle Rittenhouse a hero, the Twitter right. And I say, look, I don't think that vigilantism, right, is what anyone is supporting. People are supporting that when you have a failed state, when you have leaders that
That's
fail
exactly
to do their
right,
duty,
of course.
That
yes.
citizens will do the right thing when they're, by the way, when they're asked to be there. He was, people mm-hmm. continually just misconstrue the facts of this case. He was asked to be there as well as a number of people at that Car Source that night. There's video of him with the owners. There's photos of them, you know, posing together at the event. You know, they gave him a ride in his BMW. Right? This is a kid who was asked to be there. He's a lifeguard. He was there. I love the, someone was saying, like, I actually heard at one point they called him an active shooter. I said, oh, really? So he was there scrubbing graffiti off the wall of the courthouse earlier in the today as a cover, as an elaborate cover for later going back. It's ridiculous when you think about some of this stuff, right? We have so much evidence that this is a kid who was trying to do the right thing when nobody else would.
That's right. And when you don't have leadership and the National Guard doesn't get sent in and the police doesn't get sent in, there's things called vacuums that get created. And don't be surprised, in chaos, things happen that they shouldn't. Within that vacuum.
Remember, nobody attacks the rooftop Koreans from the L.A. riots.
Well, no.
Everybody considers that to be heroic.
During the Rodney King riots, and that was self-defense.
The Rodney King riots of L.A. 1992.
And by the way, that did not end until H.W. Bush signed the Insurrection Act, just so everyone's history is very clear.
Yeah, there were active-duty Marines in Los Angeles.
The story's really interesting, which is that the whole city was burning. And this is the power of the Insurrection Act, which is why I wanted Trump to sign it last summer, is that those riots ended in 90 minutes as soon as the tank showed up. It was so quick. The Insurrection Act goes all the way back to Shay's Rebellion, actually, with George Washington back in the founding of the country. Jack, but you deserve a lot of credit.
It's also part of the reason – I'll throw this one at you. It's also part of the reason that Washington, D.C. is not a state, because if it wasn't – then you might – then the defense of that is directly under the federal government. You don't want to have a situation where the governor of Washington, D.C., like the mayor of D.C. right now, is in conflict with the federal government.
That's right. And so as a new chapter of this now, I think – I mean, and Bill de Blasio is tweeting out, right? He's tweeting – again, he's a joke. He says, Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum are victims. They should be alive today.
Yeah, yeah. What about the victims of Rosenbaum? What about the little boys he molested?
Well,
you know, what about them?
As Tucker said, he died as he lived.
There are five people. You know, I don't know if they're out, what their ages are. They're probably five adults now, five adult men that were victimized by Joseph Rosenbaum horrifically. I've read the court documents, and honestly, I would not recommend anyone reading those documents to hear what he did to these kids. But there are five of them who are probably sitting back right now and saying, well, we knew this was coming. We knew this day was coming.
So he continues by saying, the only reason they're not alive is because of a violent, dangerous man who chose to take a gun across state lines and start shooting people. To call this a miscarriage of justice is just an understatement.
There it is.
Bill de Blasio, do you want to be sued too? What do you think, Jack?
What did I just say, Charlie? I told you they're going to continue with this narrative because they know that the radical left, these neo-Marxists, the crazy socialists out there, these psycho anti-Americans, this is what they want to hear. And they're going to stroke the flames of violence with statements like this because they want to keep the narrative, even though the reality is he was just acquitted, not guilty, self-defense. They want the violence to continue. And Jack, you know that this is true. You know that they continue to want these things in these cities because it gives them more power over the people because they control through fear. They want people to be afraid. Kenosha was a sitting duck for 3 days. I was there.
It
was a sitting duck for 3 days.
So right? They're all going to double down. They're all going to say systemic racism. This just proves – see, Joy Reid, right? You look at through the Joy Reid filter. If he had been found guilty – Joy Reid would have said, I know, she's my favorite show on cable. I watch it every night. I literally do. It's the most entertaining show there is.
It's performance art is what it is.
It's also it is what Ron Klain, the chief of staff of the White House, reads every night or watches every night. So you know that when she's talking directly to Ron. And that's where you get your government from is Joy Reid. So if he had been found guilty, she would have said, we got our guy. If he had been found not guilty, she's going to say, this proves systemic racism. This proves this country is corrupt. This country was built on a lie, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they are going to double down because they have to. They've boxed themselves into a corner, the same way that Rosenbaum cornered Kyle Rittenhouse in that parking lot between the cars parked there. And they don't have anywhere else to go. So they are going to have to double down on this if politically they ever want to survive. And that, unfortunately, is a problem. The question is, and I think we're starting to see this because we've now got a barometer from those 12 people in that jury room, that they're going to say, you know what? This stuff, it's all fake. And it's always been fake. And we've got the evidence and we can – there is an objective reality. There is objective truth. There is no your truth and my truth and relative truth. No, it's out the window. When you are put to the test,
so I want to play
some. Choose reality.
I want to play some tape here. Let's play cut 112 of some reaction of what's going on. Let's play cut 112.
Somehow, some way, those 12 jurors that had the evidence once again found that they were he was innocent of the charges. Yet we have two young men that'll never be walking through the doors of their families again. We need at this point to pray for their families. We need to pray for their families.
It's cut 113. Gets better.
As a former prosecutor, this strikes me as an odd situation for self-defense. It's something akin to saying that if you go into a bank and rob it and people are trying to apprehend you, you can then shoot your way out and claim self-defense. You know, that's a little bit of what Kyle Rittenhouse did. He created this problem and then he proceeded to threaten people to get out. But the defense did a good enough job here of convincing jurors. This was a unanimous verdict on all counts. This jury was thoroughly convinced.
Did she say she was a former prosecutor?
Former prosecutor.
Gee, I wonder why.
But, I mean, that's how prosecutors think. Jack, I mean, this is the narrative that somehow
– Today we have seen the end of Binger.
Well, I mean, but –
He's done.
But, I mean, I want you to think about how people like her should never have power. She's literally
this is, folks, this is the problem, right? Because we have we have a completely politicized criminal justice system.
Of course,
you've got guys like Binger in there. They're not looking at Kyle Rittenhouse. He's not even he doesn't even honestly care about the merits of this case. He cares about his career.
Yep.
He cares about wanting to run for he's a liberal Democrat. He wants to run for DA after this.
We've talked about
he probably will try again. And because I've actually heard I was just told last night that the current city attorney of Kenosha is or and possibly also the county DA are looking at, you know, possibly not running again, just retiring. And so Binger has got those stars in his eyes, even though he's from Racine, that he wants to run for office. So Kyle, to him, is just a means to an end. It's all That's a so game. Stupid. It's all about how do I win? How do I play the cards right? It's a chess match. You know, and you could see this with in terms of Lunchbox and in terms of Binger in there, that they don't even look at Kyle Rittenhouse as an actual human being. They look at him as just someone like playing a video game, and that's a character who needs to be defeated.
Yeah, like an NPC that we could just like, you know, blast off the
Dispendable.
Earth, right?
Exactly. Dispendable. They politicize it. They use him as a political
he's a
tool.
He's a non-player character. Get him off, yep. Right? Just like means nothing. Means to the end. Pure Machiavellianism.
And by the way, Kyle, that reaction, I don't know if you have that video of Kyle's initial reaction. He collapsed in court.
Yes.
Tears of joy.
We do.
This is
that.
Not a guy. And let's be clear about this, folks. This is when he was on the stand, he exhibited textbook signs, classic signs of PTSD. This is someone who has been through an extremely traumatic experience. They literally were going to kill him, right? They were going to kill him. Gage Grosskreutz, with one loaded in the chamber, was about to run up and kill him. And so he's been through that plus the last 14 months. That's something that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. And I really do pray and hope that he gets the help he needs to deal with that. This is not someone that the way the media is trying to portray him as this unrepentant, you know, braggadocious murderer or something. No, he's dealt with a lot of trauma. He's internalized it. But at a very young age like that, that's where my heart goes to. And that's where my mind goes to, that you got to think about the person and the people involved here.
CNN legal contributor says, I knew it. Kyle Rittenhouse is proof that white people can still break the law, carry illegal weapons, shoot and kill people, and get away with it in America by shedding tears and claiming self-defense. CNN.
See, those are the NPCs, Charlie. Those are the actual NPCs because this is a pre-programmed response.
Yes, that's right.
I told you exactly what they all would say, and here they all come up saying it. It's
precisely.
Like Pavlovian.
That's right. No,
it's Pavlovian.
That's right. You ring the bell, they go to it. Let's play that cut again of Kyle Rittenhouse collapsing in court. Cut 109.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts?
Collapses.
It's huge, man. It's huge. He's collapsing, like I said earlier, not because he's someone that believes, oh, I got off the hook. No, that is someone that understood that there was a lie against him and that his life was about to be destroyed because of that lie. And that is why Kyle Rittenhouse's knees buckled in that moment.
But that's the weight of the world being lifted off your shoulders
Absolutely.
By angels. That's what that is.
Absolutely.
And I do, but look, the same way, and I've said this to people before, and I don't know if I said it publicly yet, but I believe there was a guardian angel with it. Kyle Rittenhouse does not have weapons training. He's not a veteran. He's, you know, done some stuff with these cadet courses. He's gone and shot his gun one time with, you know, his buddy out in the woods. I believe a guardian angel was involved with that, him that night. And I believe that there was divine intervention in that jury room when they came in there and said, you cannot put him away for this. You cannot. This is a kid who was scared for his life. And he acted not in self-defense, but to save his own life. And actually, Binger says it at one point, right? Binger actually says that there's that scene where Gage Grosskreutz actually runs up to him with his phone. And he's on like Facebook Live yelling at him, did you do the shooting? Did you shoot anybody? And Kyle goes, no, I'm just trying to get to the police. I'm just trying to get to the police. No, I'm gonna try. And then Binger cuts it off and says, you see that? Kyle lied. Kyle lied just to save his skin. And I'm like, yes, exactly.
Of course.
Everything he did that night was to save his skin. He would have said anything to de-escalate that situation because they were trying to kill him. You idiot. You stupid idiot. People like this in positions of power need to be dealt with. That's why I say reject Bingerism in all of its forms. It is not enough to merely be against Bingerism. You must be actively anti-Bingerism, Bingerist.
So
actively anti-Bingerist.
Cut 115, a woman interviewed on MSNBC. She says, you know what this is? This is the same as during slave times when people were paid to hunt down blacks.
Yep.
Play cut 115.
Again.
Jack, hold on. Cut 115.
You've been praying over the trial, over the deliberations. You've been paying close attention to this since last August when this community went through everything. My question to you is, what was your reaction to the verdict?
My reaction was both sadness, heartbreak, and unfortunately not surprise. Knowing the history of vigilante justice in this country, all the way back to times of enslavement, when people would be deputized to go out and track down enslaved persons who ran away, to lynching mobs, and this is 2021, and unfortunately, heartbreak, sadness, but I wasn't surprised.
What's sad is that you have bought into such a propagated lie and you actually live your life this way. And I'm not saying this in an insulting manner, but this is so concerning. Charlie, this is peak level people just
and
totally
it's,
believing
I think
these
Drew,
major
Drew,
lies.
I think you need to reflect on your white privilege.
That's right.
That's really
Drew Hernandez.
That's really what this is all
everybody.
About.
Yeah, you know,
right.
I'm
we just admit
just,
it. Charlie, come on, let's go full mask off.
Yeah,
this is all
right.
About white privilege, isn't it?
This
isn't about evidence or video or ancient Roman and Western civilizations, traditions of being able to defend yourself and the inherent right to life, which means the inherent right to self-defense incorporated. No. It's just white privilege.
So we have some announcements. Everybody, can we announce it, Connor and Andrew? I'm being teased to tell. Everyone says I should. Yeah. Kyle's going to come on the Charlie Kirk Show in the next couple of days.
Ooh.
So. You guys want to hear that? You guys want to hear that conversation? Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast as soon as it happens. So make sure you take out your phone, type in Charlie Kirk Show, upper right hand corner. You guys are going to want to hear our exclusive conversation with Kyle himself. We are going to be one of the I think we're the second show that gets to have him, right? Is that right? Well, we've been defending him. And Jack, I might have you co-host that because I think you earned it. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
I hear there's a certain primetime cable show that he may also be going on.
Yes, that's right. And so we get number two in line, Jack. But you, if anyone's earned a chance to talk to Kyle on air, it's been you. I honestly looked back on Telegram. I typed in Rittenhouse. And, Jack, you were telegramming us like 3 weeks. You were like, we're 3 weeks out to the Rittenhouse trial, 2 weeks out to the Rittenhouse trial. Like you were beating the drum, man. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Drew, you so talk a little bit about it. When were you contacted to testify? How did that whole process unfold? And
so both sides,
you're probably a little nervous. That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. So both sides were trying to reach out to me for a while, and you know, I was really considering it, thinking about it, going over it with my family. Wanted to be wise with what I was going to do.
So you were not summoned, basically.
No, I was not summoned, but I was declared a potential witness at the beginning of the trial. And then I saw things begin to unfold, and so I reached out and I agreed.
You felt a moral obligation.
I saw and I sensed the evil that was taking place. And even in the courtroom when I was testifying, when I was literally having the truth speaking out, they were laughing at me when I was speaking the truth. So, you know, I felt like it was my civic duty to go into that environment and to tell the truth because of how serious this really is. It was not a matter of Could it have been something wrong he did? No, it was a matter of this is what literally happened. And they like we're talking about today, they're trying to spin this narrative. And I'm just thankful to God that I was able to go there at such a short notice and just share the truth and give them all the footage I had, because, you know, we'll hear what the jury has to say. If they write a book or something in the future, I don't know. But I just know that I had to do what I had to do regardless of what the verdict was going to be, because I knew that there was so much truth in all of that body cam footage that I gave them that needed to be seen.
Well, and again,
I just got a message from the White House official that I speak to sometimes, just shot me a text. Biden is joking around. I've talked before about how there's two sides.
I thought
in the
Biden's
White
House. Having a colonoscopy right now.
Right. Well, I think he just ended. I think it actually just ended.
But he got a little anesthesia hangover. So
right. So apparently, some people in the Biden staff are saying, "Oh, Kyle walks. Thanks, President Kamala."
That's funny. That's going to be her crowning achievement.
They got jokes.
My favorite new meme is a meme right here. Look at this one. It's so great. We got to put this up. I just sent it. It's a picture of two mega yachts in the south of, like, in Greece. And one says Rittenhouse. The other one says Sen.
Oh, I'm telling you, those two are going to collab.
No, it's like imagine a picture of two mega yachts in, like, the south of France. And one says Rittenhouse and the other one says Sandman.
Wow. Yeah, basically.
Hey, Jack, I'm curious. Jack, what do you think Kyle's next move will be going on the offense after this defamation?
Well, I think it's going to be tricky, right? Because – and I was listening to Will Chamberlain's analysis of this over at Human Events, and, you know, I defer to Will for a lot of this stuff. And it is going to be tricky because you are going to have to in any of these things, you're going to have to prove malice. And so that's always going to be tricky because keep in mind, Nick Sandman was never accused of a crime. He's never charged with anything, but Kyle Rittenhouse was. And so all of these now that being said, I think Kyle should go and sue the pants off of everybody. And I hope that someone has archived every single piece of MSNBC coverage and CNN coverage and Washington Post and New York Times and all the rest of them. And all the tweets, by the way, you know, I've got the tweets. That being said, Will pointed out that there's going to be a massive, you know, it's going to be tough. But I tell you what, preserve your documents, number one, and just get your checkbook out. And by the way, Mark Zuckerberg, who declared on Facebook within hours of this incident, that Kyle Rittenhouse was a mass murderer and that you couldn't post anything in support of Kyle Rittenhouse. You couldn't share his legal defense link. By the way, we believe in what Thomas More said all those years ago, that everyone deserves a fair trial. Everyone deserves the full merit of law. That Facebook shut that down for him, that he was not able to do that. So Mark Zuckerberg, I'll put it this way. Preserve your records, Mark. Preserve your records.
So we're going to have to break soon, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Get out your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show, and hit subscribe if you want to hear our exclusive conversation with Kyle Rittenhouse. Jack, I might have you co-host it if we can make the stars align on that. You know, it's the least we could do for all the good you've done to our country. And Drew, we're going to have you back. You're great, man. Plug something so that people can follow you or
help
you.
Yeah, I will be on Tucker Carlson tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, speaking about this not guilty verdict. So people need to tune in tonight because this is going to be a massive show. Love my boy Tucker. I'll see every single one of you guys tonight. And Charlie, thank you for having me, bro.
You're terrific. I want to thank you for having the courage to testify and the courage to go in the streets. The Lord had you there for a reason.
Yeah,
right? Against darkness, that you were able to get the story out. And no one likes it when people die. That's not what we like. But self-defense is a moral and biblical value. Let me say that again. Self-defense is a moral and biblical value. To defend,
is that right?
To defend your life against the threat of another is defended in the moral constitution and biblical context in more ways than one. Jack, any closing thoughts?
My biggest closing thought on this is that the corporate media is going to want retaliation for this. They are going to want to gin things up. They are going to look for a way to shift the narrative as fast as possible, and they are going to come back with a vengeance. We've seen how they're cracking down on dissidents like James O'Keefe, like others. The January 6th committee is out there. Peter Navarro has just been subpoenaed by a COVID committee. You are going to see them coming back with a vengeance because they know that they took the L here, and they know that they are losing their grip on the people of this country.
Well, their current focus is this big spending bill. I think that's where they're going to really – they're going to try to focus all their troops, in my personal opinion. That's their big thing. But it's a win for justice and a win for Kyle, and he'll be joining the Charlie Kirk Show for one of his first interviews. Actually, he's going to a certain cable television channel, and then he's coming with us. So subscribe to our podcast. You guys can do that on our on your phone, Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe, upper right-hand corner. Drew, Jack, God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to everybody soon.
God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.